This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host this evening, Margaret McConnell. Tonight's guest is Daphne Girardi, Vice President of Aquatics at River Crossing YMCA. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about your role at the Y and how you got involved in aquatics.
Yeah, so my current role as Vice President, I oversee our aquatics departments across our entire association. So all of our branches up in Lehigh Valley, all the way down through Bucks and Hunterdon County, really just making sure that we're ensuring safety and quality programs across the region. I grew up swimming competitively. So when I was 16, I started working as a lifeguard. I started at the Y part-time when I was in college, just as another way to kind of make money, and had a job offering when I was graduating and thought it was a good fit for kind of what I was looking for. So I started as our senior director of aquatics in Fairless Hills and moved into this role about a year ago.
Awesome. So tonight we're going to be talking about swimming. And I'm actually really interested in this topic because I used to be a runner until I suffered some back and nerve issues. And so I can't run anymore. And a lot of people have said to me over the years, you should try swimming. And to me, the thought of getting into a bathing suit and into a large body of water with other people is horrifying. So I am hoping to get a lot of good information from you that maybe will make me think about it a little bit differently. And also, of course, our listeners. So let's talk about what some of the key physical benefits of swimming are compared to other forms of exercise.
Yeah, so one of the biggest benefits to swimming compared to other exercises such as running or cycling is that it really is a full body workout. So when you're swimming, regardless of what stroke you're using all of your muscle groups instead of really just focusing on your legs or maybe your arms if you're doing an arm workout. So you're getting that full body workout without all the stress of running on your body. The water really helps with the resistance, but also is providing buoyancy so that you don't have that same stress as other activities.
Right. So you're not bouncing on your joints and hitting macadam or concrete. So swimming is often recommended for people with joint pain, like I mentioned earlier, or mobility issues. Why is it such a great low impact workout?
Yeah, so the buoyancy of the water really does help to take off the stresses that you have every day, whether you're walking or running. So even doing those things in the water makes it easier for people that have joint or mobility issues. A lot of aqua arthritis classes that we have are silver sneaker classes, and a lot of the participants get out and they tell me, I feel like I'm Superman in the water, and then I get on land and get back to my normal self. So it takes away all of that stress that you have on land.
Right, right. Now, I imagine that it also improves cardiovascular health and endurance. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so similar to running or cycling, swimming is a cardiovascular workout. So you're getting those benefits working your heart and lungs while you're swimming. The added benefit, and I guess some of the struggle for people that aren't used to it, is that you do also have to work on your breath control while you're swimming. So it has that added benefit that running and cycling doesn't. You can't breathe underwater, so you're really relying on those breaths and trying to better control that as you're swimming, which helps as well.
Now, you can also, I've seen that some of the gyms, they have aerobics classes, water aerobics classes, and that's not necessarily swimming laps. You're not underwater, right?
No, during an aqua aerobics class, you would be usually about chest deep in the water, so your head's out of the water, making it a little bit easier for those people that aren't comfortable fully submerging in the pool.
Right, okay. And beyond the physical benefits, how does swimming contribute to mental health and stress relief?
Yeah, so I think that similar to all exercises, swimming is just, it releases endorphins, which naturally makes you happier afterwards. One added benefit is that you're kind of in your own world, so you can't hear the outside noise. Your head's in the water. It just kind of gives you time to de-stress from everything else that's happening, which for me personally is a nice benefit. My phone's not next to me, and I kind of have that time to myself while I'm swimming.
Yeah, I guess there's no headphones, right? Yeah. They have not invented that yet.
They have, but they're not the best. With the water, it gets really choppy. You can hear some places. If you get too far, it doesn't. So I've tried it once or twice, but it doesn't work out.
Okay, so you're in your own zone. You're being with you completely and no other outside distractions.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So I understand swimming can be an effective form of rehabilitation for injuries that we talked a little bit about, but tell us more about that.
Yeah, so in addition to swimming itself, which is a great form of exercise, you can also use the pool to rehab some of those exercises. So if you're recovering from maybe a shin splint because you're running too much, you can get in the water and instead of swimming laps, use it to start walking and take that impact off from walking. You can throw an aqua belt on and start jogging in the deep end. So aside from actual swimming, the water just provides limitless opportunities to modify what you're doing and really tailor it to your injury and rehab needs.
Okay. So the lifelong back issues I've had, like what would you tell somebody? I mean, I know back issues are like everybody has some form of back issue, it seems. What kind of exercises would you do in the water?
Yeah, so again, there's plenty of possibilities. One really good one is just getting in the water and walking. Walking in the water has that added resistance from the water, so it's a little bit more strenuous than just walking on the ground. You can also put a belt on, do some aqua jogging in the deep end. That takes off a little bit more of the stress from walking and would help with your back. You can also swim laps, which really works your core and back muscles in a way that's different from what you're doing on land, kind of stabilizing you horizontally instead of how your body's used to being stabilized vertically, and doing some of the easier strokes, so freestyle or backstroke might be a better option than trying to get involved with butterfly and breaststroke when you're first starting out and trying to worry about your back.
Right. So let's start talking about getting started. Many adults didn't learn to swim as kids. I did at the public pools, you know, took the little Red Cross swimming test. But then, you know, you're just in a pool for most of the time. You're not utilizing those classes necessarily as you get older. I don't know that I can pass, you know, I can do a couple strokes. But if you didn't learn as a kid, what advice do you have for beginners who might feel intimidated or people like me who haven't swum in a long time?
Yeah, so the best advice would be to put yourself in swim lessons, whether that's group lessons or private lessons. Since I've been teaching private lessons, I've had plenty of adults come to me from varying ages. I have taught people that are in their 80s that never learned to swim and they really just want to conquer that fear. So the best advice is really not to let that intimidation stop you. No matter how far along you are in your life, it doesn't mean you can't learn to swim. And getting in and getting comfortable is definitely the biggest step in moving forward with your swimming journey.
Right. So taking classes is, you know, obviously you don't want to just jump in the water. Yes. And be like, yeah, I'm going to learn this. Don't watch a YouTube video for swimming.
Yeah, it's much harder to pick up on your own than running is.
Right, right. So what are some common misconceptions people have about swimming as exercise?
I think the biggest misconception is that you have to be a swimmer to swim. So I think people see swimming as, oh, they grew up swimming, they're a great swimmer, they were on XYZ team, and that's why they do it as a workout. But you really don't have to have any swimming experience to get in. No one's going to judge your strokes for what they look like. Just getting in and doing any sort of exercise, whether that be swimming laps or getting in for an aqua aerobics class, really does make a difference.
Okay. For those who want to incorporate swimming into their fitness routine, how often should they aim to swim?
So I think that really depends on what the person's looking for. Some people swim once a week up to 7 days a week, really depending on what you're looking for that swimming workout to be. So if you're training for maybe a half marathon and you want to use some cross training, maybe throwing swimming in there once or twice a week. But if swimming's going to be your sole activity, then maybe you do it a little bit more. You can swim every day, but if you start to get up into the higher levels, just making sure you're mixing up what you're doing each day so that you're not overusing any certain body part or getting tired of your workout.
Right. So that's basic good advice for any type of workout that you're doing. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over, and you're susceptible to injury, right?
Yes. And that same goes with swimming.
Now, are there specific strokes or techniques that are best for beginners versus more advanced swimmers? Like you mentioned the breaststroke.
Yeah, so breaststroke and butterfly are definitely the hardest strokes to master. They have a lot more coordination than freestyle and backstroke do. And freestyle is really what the name says. You can pretty much do whatever you want, even when you're swimming competitively. As long as your arms and legs are off the ground and you're swimming, that counts as freestyle. So that's definitely the easiest one for people to start with.
I'm visualizing an old Friends episode. Phoebe was running
yes.
in the park, just wildly waving her arms, and that's what I'm picturing. With freestyle, if anything goes, it could be quite entertaining. So how can people make the most of their time in the pool if they only have 30 minutes for a workout?
I think just getting in and doing what you can in 30 minutes. Some people are going to hop in and get in, swim laps continuously for 30 minutes, and that's going to be the best way for them. But others aren't necessarily at that level. But getting in and doing what you can do, even if it's only a few laps and then you're taking a break, I think the biggest barrier to swimming is getting in the water, taking that time to do it. So even if you swim only a handful of laps in 30 minutes, it's better than nothing.
Right. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about community and safety. If you're just tuning in, my guest tonight on Active Lehigh Valley is Daphne Girardi. She's the Vice President of Aquatics at the River Crossing YMCA. So what role do community pools and aquatic centers, such as the Y, play in promoting public health and wellness?
Yeah, so like we've talked about a lot so far is any form of exercise in the pool is great for you. So that's really helping with that public health and wellness. But aside from that, we also have so many programs, swim lessons from our parent-child classes up to swim team that really help to build those swimming skills and promote safety around water, which is a huge component of swimming as well.
What are some of the components that you teach with safety? Like if you have kids, do you start them off with the swimmies and all of that, or the parents in the pool with the kids?
Yeah, so our youngest lessons start at age 6 months.
Wow.
And those are our parent-child classes. So parents are in the water with their kids. They have an instructor in the class that's guiding the class, showing them kind of skills for that age. As they move up into our preschool classes, those are independent. So that starts at age 3. You can be in a class on your own. Those first couple levels are really focused on the water safety skills. So how to get in and out of the pool safely, how to jump in and turn around towards a wall so if that someone does fall in, they have that skill to be able to face the wall and try to grab back on, floating on your back, which is a huge part of swimming, but the biggest thing is that it really does protect swimmers in the water. If you can float on your back, then you can lay there for as long as you need while you're waiting for help. So those are really the biggest components of our younger lessons. And then as you move up into our later stages and then into our school age classes, that's really where you start to learn the stroke development. So learning how to properly swim freestyle and backstroke, breaststroke, and then eventually butterfly.
All right. Water safety, obviously, we touched on that. It's a big concern, especially for families. What should parents and individuals keep in mind when they're going just even recreationally to go to a swimming pool like on a hot day in the summer?
Yeah, so the biggest thing we teach in our safety around water and our swim classes is just never swim alone. So ideally you want to be at a facility that has a lifeguard to ensure that there's that extra layer of protection. But if there's not a lifeguard, make sure that you're bringing someone with you. So if you're going to go swim laps, have a friend with you. If you're getting in the pool, make sure that someone knows that's where you're going. Really just ensuring that you have that safety and extra layer of protection should anything happen. Making sure when you're at these facilities that even though there's a lifeguard there, they're there to watch the entire pool. So make sure that you're keeping an eye on those that are in your group and have an idea of where everyone is to make sure that you're keeping them safe.
Can you share any success stories that you've seen over the years of your swimming career, people's lives who have been transformed through swimming?
Yeah, so one that comes to mind right off the bat is I had, like I said, a private swim lesson. She was in her 80s. She had never swam before. She was terrified of the water. So our lessons are sold in packs of four. The first four pack of lessons really was about getting her face in the water and being able to submerge underwater. And it was a very slow progress, and I just kept reminding her, like, you have not swam for 80-plus years. Like, this is normal to take some time. So she kept purchasing packages, and then by the end of it, she was able to swim halfway in the pool by herself, flip over onto her back should she need to, and really just give her that sense of safety around the water that she didn't have for her entire life. So that was a pretty good one for me to be able to be with her while she was learning.
Yeah. Now, it's making me think about, like, swimming in a pool versus swimming in an ocean. So do you do any sort of cross training in your classes that talk about, like, hey, you're in a pool, it's a confined area of space, there's no waves, right? How is it different, and what kind of tools do you teach people who want to go swim in the ocean?
Yeah, so totally different animal. I was training someone for a triathlon, and they had to jump off of a boat. It was down the shore. They had to jump off of a boat and then swim their triathlon basically to shore. So she had swam before, but really was trying to work on her technique. We focused on what that was good in the pool, and then I said, all right, for our last two lessons, we're just going to work on swimming side stroke or breaststroke, which are some of our resting strokes. And what you can do when you're swimming those is breathe the entire time. So if you're in the water and you start to panic, there are strokes that you're able to keep your head above water and kind of see where you're going in order to be more comfortable with that without being with your face in the water, kind of those luxuries you have when you're in the pool.
Right. Are there simulators for ocean?
I mean, a wave pool.
A wave pool?
Okay. I don't know if there's any around here, but I used to love that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've never been in a wave pool. I didn't know they existed. So how can listeners find local swimming programs or resources to help them get started? Obviously, you are one resource, right?
So if you go to our website, ymcariverCrossing.org, you have all of our programs across our entire association. So if you're looking for something up in the Lehigh Valley area, we have all of our branches and our programs on there. In addition to what the actual programs are, there's some additional information so you can pick which lesson is best for you. So that's a really good place to get started and kind of see where you would fall and what is your next steps.
Okay. What is your website?
YMCARiverCrossing.org.
Okay. And River Crossing, tell us about that a little bit. Like, what you mentioned when you were doing your introduction, but tell us again where the facilities are that are encompassing the River Crossing Y.
Yeah, so we have branches across Bucks County and Hunterdon County, as well as up in the Lehigh Valley area. So we have in Bucks County, we have our Fairless Hills, Doylestown, Warminster, and Quakertown locations, which all have pools. In Hunterdon County, our Deer Path branch, which is in Flemington, and then up in the Lehigh Valley area, our Nazareth, Easton, Bethlehem, and Slate Belt branches all have pools.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So there's a lot, right, of opportunities. And I was looking at your website, and there's a lot of different opportunities for swimming within these facilities. You mentioned laps, swimming laps, but there's also things for families too. So tell us a little bit about the facilities and the different pools that you have.
Yeah, so our most unique pools are our Doylestown and our Quakertown branches. They both have a water park pool, so they have a water slide in there. So our family swims at those pools look a little bit different because we turn on some elements and the water slide is generally open for families to use. All of our other branches, we do offer family swim as well. We don't have the elements in the water slide. They are more traditional lap pools, but we move the lanes aside and really open them for families to come and swim. And then we also have our lap swimming, which you mentioned. And then the other really big component that we have is we have aqua aerobics classes at all of our branches. So we have deep water classes, we have arthritis classes, and kind of anything in between, which is really a popular option with our members.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this has me thinking a little bit about hygiene. And how do you work that into training and classes?
Yeah, so best practice when you're getting in a pool is always to take a shower before you get in. Really just making sure that you're not bringing anything into the water that we don't want in the water. Our pools are all chlorinated, so we have our level set to make sure that we're keeping those classes safe for anyone who's using our facilities.
Okay, so now I'm going to get into a controversial topic. Not really, but it is in my family. I have an indoor pool at home. When I had my nieces and nephews, we had a no diaper policy. But you're telling me you've got babies in there that are 6 months. So what is the diaper policy with pools?
So you can use a diaper as long as it is a swim diaper, because the regular diapers will fill up, the beads will soak up the water and will explode, which I've seen firsthand. So definitely don't get in with a regular diaper. When you have a swim diaper on, we do also recommend like a tighter suit just to make sure that nothing's falling out of that swim diaper, but you can get in with them.
Okay. All right. So the important thing there is a swim diaper.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now I've got it on record here. I don't have any little ones anymore, but you know. Also, talking along the same lines as hygiene, you know, there's a lot of indoor water parks that are, you know, great opportunities for families to take their kids to, get the kids out, get them doing something. We're talking about being active. But they're also very large areas of indoor air, humidity. Like, are there any concerns or safety precautions that families should be using when they're going to an indoor water park?
Yeah, so chlorine really is what makes us be able to operate these large bodies of water, whether that be a water park or a pool. Each state has a bather code which says what is safe for the chlorine levels to be at. There's a minimum and a maximum, so staying within that range really is important. But once it's in that range, chlorine is going to kill anything that you would think is in the water and really is what is keeping you safe. Not safe to drink, though, so definitely making sure you're not drinking the water. And then when you get out, making sure that you're showering and rinsing that off, because prolonged chlorine exposure isn't great for your skin. Each facility has different types of ventilation that really keeps that air circulating. You do have to keep it warm, just because if your water's set to a certain temperature and the air is colder than that, then you're going to have a problem with evaporation. So that's why it tends to be hot and humid in there, but there are air filters that are keeping that air circulating and keeping it safe for people to be there.
And then from a safety standpoint, I imagine water parks, you should know how to swim. Is there a certain level that you should be at to go in the, in a park like that?
So I think it all depends on what you're doing in the park and what its limitations are. So there was a water park by my house when I was growing up that had a slide that shot you into like a 12-foot pool, and there was a pretty significant drop. So they did ask you if you were a strong swimmer. Obviously, not everyone was when they went down, so they had lifeguards there. But a ride like that is going to need to have a much stronger comfortability in the water. But if you're going down a water slide in a tube and you know that the catch pool is only 3 feet deep, if you're comfortable getting up, standing up, that really is kind of the baseline for that.
Okay. All right. What's one final piece of advice that you'd give to someone considering swimming as a new way to stay active? Or even as I started out saying, let's do two pieces of advice. Just somebody generally wanting to get into swimming, and then somebody who is terrified of like putting on a bathing suit.
Yeah, so
in front of other people.
So my first piece of advice for someone that wants to get started is really just to get started. Like I said, that's the hardest part. Even myself, I grew up swimming. It's usually my hardest workout that I do in the week, just because it's, you have to change into a bathing suit, get in the pool. If I want to run outside, I can do it right now. So it is harder to get started and get yourself in that mindset. But once you're in there, that really is the hardest part. For those people that don't totally feel comfortable getting into a bathing suit, my best piece of advice would be just put on what you are comfortable in. So you can't obviously go swimming in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. That's going to create way too much resistance and is not good for you or the pool. But if you want to wear shorts and a t-shirt, then hop in shorts and a t-shirt. And then as you get more comfortable getting in the water, putting on the bathing suit becomes a little bit less scary.
Okay. I'll buy that. Let me just ask one more question. Do any of your facilities have diving components?
So we do have facilities that have diving blocks. That really is just used for swim team, though. So our swim team will use them. We use them during swim lessons to teach how to dive, but it's not something that's generally open to the public. And then none of them have diving boards.
Okay. All right. So just the diving block. So you do teach some component of diving, like introduction to diving. Okay.
Yeah. And then, as you move into the advanced levels, you're learning how to dive off the blocks and then really working on that endurance for swim team. And then we move a lot of our swim lesson kids into swim team where they're getting all of that additional endurance and continued stroke development.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been really enlightening. I am much more confident in the aspect of possibly just getting in the water.
You could start at your pool at home.
I could. I wish I'd gotten a lap pool. I kind of didn't get it big enough to do laps. But anyway, I want to thank you, Daphne Girardi from the River Crossing YMCA, for joining us tonight. And as always, thanks to St. Luke's for supporting this show. If you'd like to listen to this program again, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, and you are listening to WDIY 88.1 FM. Have a great night.